Project 22 is about raising awareness for the fact that 22 veterans are committing suicide every single day. But it's not just about awareness, it's prevention. We're trying to prevent. And we have to show these veterans what's out there for them.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and you just heard a clip from the documentary Project 22. As you heard, an estimated 22 veterans commit suicide every day, and this sobering fact led to the production of the documentary. It's a film chronicling the journey of two combat-wounded veterans who travel across America to speak with veterans who had contemplated or attempted suicide. I'm joined now in Studio A by the film's executive producer, Theo Collins, who is a combat veteran himself and now a law student at Duquesne University. Theo Collins, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me.
It sounds for you like this journey began with your own experience in Afghanistan, where you did one tour of duty. Describe your experiences there.
You know, it was very eye-opening. I was there at a young age, and I was kind of thrust into positions of great responsibility for someone being 22 years old and being responsible for the lives of six other Marines and all that equipment and carrying out missions. And it was kind of the collateral things that go along with things like that that opened up my eyes to some of the issues that my fellow veterans are experiencing now that we're home.
And so it's a long way from that experience some 4 years ago to the conclusion or the completion of this documentary. Describe where the idea began to germinate and how you actually were able to produce the film.
You know, it's the two guys that are the subjects of the film. They're the directors of the film. This was their brainchild. They sat down about a year ago in California, where they now live. And, you know, tragedy kind of struck close to home for them. They'd had a couple friends who had gone through this and now are no longer with us. It was something that was a cold wake-up for us. They really got the project going. My involvement came in later on, kind of in a support role, helping with the business and legal side of this project. But that's how it got started.
How do you raise money for something like this?
The initial pre-production and production phases were funded by an Indiegogo campaign, which is kind of like Kickstarter for independent films. And through that, we were able to raise about $45,000 to cover the cost of hiring the crew and the 22-day motorcycle ride from L.A. to New York.
Could this have been possible without your own experience in combat, without working side by side with some of the people who this issue affects?
You know, I think one of the greatest things about this project is that nearly everybody who's involved is a veteran. And so we're able to closely relate with the veterans who we're talking to in the film, who we're interviewing, who we're trying to gain their perspective on and really get to the heart of what brought them back. The idea behind the film is to highlight some of the alternative sources of healing that are out there. And we're talking to these veterans and these treatment providers who have experienced it firsthand. And having that experience of being a veteran, of being a Marine Corps veteran, allows us to relate much better with the subjects of the film and to get their stories.
Were there issues when you got back that you wrestled with?
On a day-to-day basis, you know, I remembered a lot of things that happened there. A good source of healing for me was work. Like you mentioned, I'm in law school now. So I keep busy. That's what I do.
But in terms of all of these veterans who are coming back now, and there are a lot of them with the war in Iraq ending and now Afghanistan winding down, there are a lot of people coming back. Is the system overwhelmed by the needs of some of the soldiers?
You know, I'd say that yes. The right people are generally in the right place. We just need more of them.
And so for the two veterans that you chronicle in this particular story, how did they come to grips with their own issues? What was the epiphany for them?
It was really... both of them had friends who had recently taken their own lives as a result of some of the issues that they developed in combat zones. And they'd been dealing with some PTSD and TBI issues personally. And they looked at the way that treatment's given now in what we call the system. and they weren't satisfied with it. And, you know, they started hearing about all these great alternative therapies that are out there, things like dog therapy, equine therapy, clay therapy, yoga, hyperbaric oxygen chamber therapy. And they really wanted to learn more about these personally, but then also share that with our veteran population. A lot of these things aren't very well known, and their effectiveness isn't well known. So we wanted to get the message out there that if you're not, you know, someone who likes to sit in waiting rooms and take lots of pills, there's many other things that you can do.
So what you're saying is the system, the way that the Veterans Administration deals with these problems, that the system is broken.
I don't know that I'd say it's broken. I'd say that it doesn't, you know, you can't try to fit a square peg into a circle hole. You know, not every veteran is going to react well to every kind of therapy. You know, each person's path, each person's story is different, and what's going to work for them may not be what's normally given. And for some people, it might be.
We're talking with Theo Collins, the executive producer of the documentary Project 22, which chronicles the story of two combat wounded veterans who traveled across America to speak with veterans who had contemplated or attempted suicide. What are a lot of these veterans saying that led them to this particular crisis?
You know, I think largely it was a loss of hope. You know, there's other issues that go along with having PTSD, or we prefer to call it PTS, post-traumatic stress, and TBI. You develop anxiety, depression, and it's kind of the mix of all of these things that can put someone in a really, really bad place in their own head. And it was really, they had several moments where there just was no hope anymore. And that's what we're trying to give back to these guys, say that there is hope. You know, you can come back from this. Look at all these guys who've done it in all these different ways. Find something that interests you. And get better.
I don't want you to give away too much of the film, but what are one or two of the stories that really were particularly touching?
You know, we had a veteran who was kind of on a path of self-destruction. Law enforcement involvement, personal property damage, his own property, doing a lot of crazy things that weren't him necessarily. And he's now gone on to do fantastic things with his life. He's, you know, like you said, not giving too much away, but he's actually semi-famous now, doing something really, really neat with his life. And we're very appreciative to have his story in the film.
Do you get a sense that the general public has any idea what's really going on with some of these veterans who have contemplated or attempted suicide?
On the large scale, no. When we started out with this last year, it's not something that I was even aware of a few months before. But since then, this issue has gotten some airplay on national media. We've been on a couple different outlets, and it's being talked about elsewhere. There's national campaigns now to stop veteran suicide. I'd say that now awareness is higher, and that's, you know, half of the mission of the film is to raise the awareness within the general public so that people know that this is a legitimate issue that's facing their own communities at home.
How did the group decide on the storytelling here? Because there's a lot of ways you can tell this story, but you have to obviously make it visually appealing. So in order to create this film, describe the process of coming up with ideas and brainstorming and how you're able to boil it down to the formula that you came up with.
You know, we really wanted it to be a visual piece on America. That's why we drove motorcycles from LA through the southern United States back up the East Coast and ending in New York City. So there's going to be a lot of heavy visuals of places you might recognize in the country and show that this is an American issue that we need to deal with here. And talking to the guys, we first start with their military background, their personal backgrounds, and then we get into where were you when you came home? What were the issues? What were the moments? Tell us a story of one of your darkest days. And we kind of get into some sad places in the film. But then you'll see that at the end, we come back out of it, and it ends on a very hopeful note because we end it with the guys' stories of what brought them back from the brink. What are they doing now? Why are they happy? What did you do? What can you tell other veterans who are going through this now that feel like they have no hope?
So do you feel that veterans who are in the same predicament might watch this film and get hope from it?
That's our goal, Paul. I mean, that's really the big thing with this is that we want to share this, what we've found, with every veteran and military family in America.
And what about the logistics of this? You're talking about going across country and having cameras and motorcycles and also capturing on film some very emotionally gripping stories and things that might be difficult for people to talk about on camera. My guess is there was a tremendous amount of logistics and organization and just an incredible challenge in doing all of that. Describe what that was like.
It really was. I can speak on the filming that we did here in Pittsburgh, which we did 4 days of. Getting everybody together to find, who are the veterans we want to speak to, who are the care providers we want to talk to. I mean, there's just, people's schedules and things of that nature. But we really were, we really had an advantage in that our story really resonated with a lot of people. And we got a lot of help along the way. Here in Pittsburgh, when we came here to Pittsburgh, arms were open wide. We got a hero's welcome at the Veterans Leadership Program here in the South Side. The Pittsburgh Police Department kind of helped us get around the city. The task was large, but we got a lot of help from the communities.
Have you had some rough cuts that you've shown people?
We have done some test screening with our studio in LA, and it's been very well received.
Yeah, well, what kind of reaction specifically? What sorts of emotional reactions have you gotten from people?
Well, you can kind of predict that there's a lot of sadness in the room during certain parts of the film. But then it's one of those things where, we go into some dark places, but we come out higher than you came in.
If this was an eye-opening experience for you, a combat veteran, what is it going to be like for the average viewer?
I think that the average civilian who may not have any veterans or military in the family, it's going to be very new. It's going to be things that they've never heard before, potentially. But we're going to do what we hope is a really good job of presenting the issues and raising the awareness and showing the different ways that we can prevent and treat these things.
And for you as a law student, I mean, you've been in this, you said this is your last year of law school.
That's
so
right.
You've been in law school and at the same time organizing this project. I can't even imagine what that's been like for you. How have you been able to do all that?
Some days better than others. My professors are extremely supportive of this project. The law school and the university as a whole have all been very, very supportive of this project. We've got one of the psychology professors from Duquesne is actually in the film. The university is sponsoring the premiere here in Pittsburgh. But the day-to-day things where I have to go in and put in library hours and be in class and at the same time, MSNBC calls because they want us in their New York studio the next morning. Well, okay, I guess I have to go and I'll explain it to the professor when I get back. It's a lot of life juggling, but we're getting through it.
And have your instructors been understanding of your needs that are required by this film?
Absolutely. I do what I can to make up for what I miss in class here and there, and they understand that this is something it's going to be powerful. It's going to reach a lot of people, and it's going to do a lot of good. So they've been very, very supportive.
If there's one thing that you want the general public to take from this, what might it be?
It's that these issues are treatable. These are not permanent. These are things that, we can work through together. And people can be healed. People can get their lives back. And it's something that we really, really need to do to help our veterans do.
And with regard to veterans who are reluctant to ask for help, what would you like them to get from this film?
I'd like them to see that there's other things out there that may not be considered, treatment or therapeutic, but they are. Different things that we explored like equine therapy and dog therapy, yoga. These sorts of things that are activities that can help to free and heal your mind while at the same time engaging in productive counseling.
We've been talking with Theo Collins. He is the executive producer of the documentary Project 22, a film chronicling the journey of two combat wounded veterans who traveled across America to speak with veterans who had contemplated or attempted suicide. The film will have its debut screening at the Hollywood Theater here in Pittsburgh on October 24th. Theo Collins, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.